This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we celebrate and commemorate the round dance, the hymn of Jesus. Story from the Acts of John, wherein the Lord, knowing he was going to be crucified, bid his disciples to join hands and dance around him, and he sang a song and had them reply, Amen. This is perhaps an odd thing to do if you know that you're going to die the next morning. The Orthodox scriptures speak of a hymn, and they also speak of an evening in a garden. They don't speak of this dance. This is a particularly Gnostic take on these things. And what is contained in the hymn is also quite Gnostic. It contains things that contradict themselves. I have no house, and I have houses. It's one of the lines. I have no temple, and I have temples. And this calls us to look beyond the simple meaning of these things. Where we have a paradox, may simply be that we are trying to transpose and oppose things on the same level we're on. They go across levels. We may have no house in the world, no physical house, yet may be many houses, many dwelling places for Christ within us. Christ has no temple, has many temples within us. And so it calls us to look not at the simple appearances of things, not even at this reenactment, the story itself, wherein the disciples dance around the Lord, he being the still point, the center, being the one around whom the 12 revolve. To see beyond this, to see more of what the Acts of John, the scripture, is talking about. It is always calling us deeper. In the readings from the Mystery of the Cross, John, after the dance, beholds Christ's suffering and doesn't abide his suffering, doesn't stay there and watch. He runs off, he flees. He flees to the Mount of Olives, and then into a cave somewhere. And when Christ is crucified, there's darkness. And in this darkness, there appears to him a cross of light. And from above the cross of light, the voice of the Lord speaks to him and teaches him further. And this is a very subtle teaching. There's many things we should attend to. One of the things that Christ says in that form is that if we'd known how to suffer, we would not have suffered. That the mere suffering of the flesh is not an ultimate thing. That is what is reinforced in the Orthodox representations of Good Friday throughout the world today. That this suffering is somehow ultimate suffering. That it is a thing in and of itself. That Christ suffered and could not be avoided, had to be suffered. And that from this thing that had to be suffered, we have the celebration and this meaningfulness of Christianity. Without this suffering, it wouldn't have been meaningful. Without this sacrifice, it would have been nothing. Gnostic understanding is much deeper. You look to the suffering as being a part of life. And death comes, most often comes, with suffering as well. That is not an ultimate thing. The suffering is not the ultimate purpose or meaning. Indeed, if we knew how to suffer, if we knew the meaning of suffering in this transcendent way, the way Christ does, then we would not suffer. That is one of the main lessons of this scripture. Christ suffering was not the real suffering. He also says that what they say I have suffered, I have not suffered. But what they do not say, that have I suffered. It is not what they understand. It's not this appearance of things, not this bodily suffering that is the point. And that is also not the suffering of the transcendent, not the suffering of God. But there is a real suffering there that is the suffering of the divine in the world. In the Gnostic view, this suffering is brought about by the limitations of the world, the nature of the world, that the divine in the world isn't going to have a free ride, a great run of it, that bad things will happen, and that they are not either the will of God or do not have ultimate meaning in the scheme of things, but that more transcendent suffering does have meaning. It's more suffering because of one's divine nature, because one knows that. One has a gnosis of that. That suffering is a suffering of which they do not speak. And that is a suffering that is suffered. But it is also a part of liberation. To realize gnosis is often to suffer to some extent. Because perhaps we ourselves are not ready for it. We are not able to accept a truth about ourselves or our situation or about our world. And so this consciousness, this realization, this gnosis, seems to come as a source of suffering. But it is not the source. It merely reveals to us that which has been going on all along, the suffering that is in the background, but is the ultimate, more meaningful suffering. Jesus talks to John in many other paradoxical sayings, that he will not be who he is until we are as he is, that there is development, there is a becoming element in all of this, that isn't merely Christ becoming, but it involves us completely, and that Christ becomes as we become, that there is this intimate relationship there, and that this is a reflection of the indwelling Christ, Christ as this universal presence within us. And as we ourselves grow, as Jung would say, our God image grows, evolves, becomes more. Our experience of the divine becomes more evolved, more subtle. It seems to grow because we are finally gaining gnosis of its true nature. We are finally becoming that which we see in Christ, in the divine. And as we approach that, it becomes what it truly is. God becomes what God truly is. Christ becomes what Christ truly is. They are not really encompassed by these words, ideas, thoughts, but are very real presences. That the more we know of ourselves, we know of the divine, the more we experience them. So we are always a part of this round dance, circling around the Lord, seeing Christ from different perspectives as we circle around, understanding at a different level the different sayings, the different symbols, growing in our understanding of those as we grow ourselves in gnosis, until perhaps we fade into the dance, become the dance. As T.S. Eliot wrote, "The music heard so deeply that it is not heard at all, but you are the music while the music lasts." A true experience of the divine comes upon us like this, not as something separate or other, so much as something so much a part of us, that it seems odd that we do not experience this all the time, and in that we are caught up in this great cosmic drama, this drama of the story of Holy Week, the story of ourselves and our souls, and the story that began before the cosmos and will end after it. We are part of this dance, part of this story. And though we may not understand all of the phrases, all of the words, and all of the terms, at any given time, we can always come back to them again. We come back every year in liturgy, and we can return when prompted within ourselves to reread and reconsider these things, for they are at the core of our being, our experience. So may we take the gnosis of the dance with us, take our participation in this great dance of the cosmos forward in gnosis. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us always. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.